You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following Lutheran Hour sermon was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer. Its title is, Words of Love, No. And now here's Dr. Meyer.
Magic Johnson raised quite a few eyebrows when he said that the safest sex is no sex. Abstinence? Many people were shocked. Don't you know that we're sexual creatures, they said? You mean, say no? You're living in a society where the word of love is yes. The toughest struggle that some people face today is how to make love safely. When two people care about one another, and when they take appropriate precautions, our society's word of love is, yes, of course. After all, we're sexual creatures, right? So what's it to be? Do you say yes or no? Last week I mentioned a new book called Watching America. Written by S. Robert Lichter, Linda S. Lichter, and Stanley Rothman, the subtitle of the book is What Television Tells Us About Our Lives. This book is a survey of the subtle and the not-so-subtle messages that primetime TV has been preaching at us over the years. When it comes down to the issue of love outside of marriage, TV has come down and said, yes. The primary purpose of TV is not to entertain or to inform you. The primary purpose of TV is to make sales, to deliver you, the consumer, into the hands of the commercial sponsor. The best way to do that is sex. Sex sells. While there's been much talk for many years about women's liberation, women are very likely to be presented on TV as sexual objects. Here are two quotations from the book Watching America. Throughout television's history, female characters have been defined in terms of their sexual identity to a greater degree than males. And this, TV's women are not only more likely to want romance, they are also more likely to use sex to get what they want. That makes me, at least, wonder why we're so willing in our society to sit at the feet of the TV and accept, uncritically, what this love guru is teaching us. When it comes to being faithful to husband or wife, TV has changed markedly since the early 1970s. Another quotation from Watching America. Since the early 1970s, extramarital sex has rarely been condemned. Instead, it is usually portrayed as an acceptable form of recreation. Wait a minute now, somebody's going to object. Waiting for marriage, being faithful to your husband or wife, that may be okay for you, but don't impose your standards on me. My response is to ask then why the TV establishment keeps promoting a liberal view on sex. Lichter, and Rothman say, the theme of old fogies holding to outworn sexual mores never entirely disappeared from prime time. People like me, who say you're supposed to wait for marriage and then be faithful to your spouse, are old fogies. TV's word of love is yes, yes, yes. Just make sure you do it safely. No wonder that syndicated columnist Cal Thomas wrote this past February, television, that once great idea that now serves mostly as an uplink for the sewer, exposes me to a flash flood of sex. Well, I confess that we here at the Lutheran Hour are old fogies on this topic. I want to introduce you to another old fogey who believed that marriage was a holy gift from God. His name is Joseph. Joseph lived in a society where women were often regarded as sexual objects, and free love was easy to find. He lived in Egypt, but it wouldn't take a TV scriptwriter very long to transfer this ancient Egyptian story to our society. Before I read the story from Genesis chapter 39, let me set the stage and tell you who this old fogey Joseph was. Do you remember the big three Hebrew patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Joseph was the son of Jacob, the favorite son of Jacob. His dad spoiled him. That made Joseph's brothers bitter. So bitter, in fact, that they were going to kill Joseph, but ended up selling him into slavery. That slavery was in Egypt, and that's where the story in Genesis 39 picks up. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. So far, there's nothing to excite some modern TV scriptwriter, nothing here to sell the sponsor's products. But I'm sure that much of the TV establishment would perk up at what comes next. I read on. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But Joseph refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. Tradition has given Potiphar's wife the name Zuleika. However, the fact that the Bible has given her no name tells us that this is not a one-time story. A lesson is being taught here. Although the temptation to say yes happens again and again, the Bible tells us that the appropriate word of love is no. The Bible does not call her by name, but rather calls her Potiphar's wife. She was bound to that man, and he to her. Many people then and now would say, "What an old fogey Joseph was, holding to outworn sexual mores." Joseph wasn't really an old fogey. What he was faithful. Faithful to God, faithful to his master, and faithful to marriage. Joseph asked, "How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" Joseph remembered all that God had done for him. He had had a privileged childhood. He had received from God great promises for the future. When his brothers wanted to kill him, God had spared his life. When he ended up a slave in Egypt, God prospered him and put him in charge of Potiphar's household. Joseph remembered all of this. He also knew God's will. A man will leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, and they will become one flesh. That was Potiphar's wife, not his. So despite repeated advances, Joseph was faithful. Faithful to marriage, faithful to his master, faithful to God. God is faithful too. Faithful means keeping your promises. God had made promises to Joseph. God kept those promises. God has made promises to you. God's promises to you find their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that in all the promises of God, Jesus Christ is the yes that makes them come true. What are these promises of God? They are promises of love, of life, of hope. Love is not synonymous with sex. You know that. Love means denying yourself for the one you love. God has given Himself to you by giving His Son Jesus to be your Savior. We love Him because He first loved us, the Bible says. Jesus denied Himself at the cross and suffered the punishment for all your sins. He did that so that you could be forgiven and learn what real love, God's love, is. In Jesus Christ, God also gives you life. You haven't found the meaning of life when you found that someone special. You don't find the meaning of life when you say yes to any or every proposition that comes your way. That's sin. That's death. The Bible says this is life eternal, to know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. This real life is known by faith, grasping the forgiveness and love that God gives you in the story of Jesus Christ. Herein is hope. Joseph had needed hope before in his life. Now, when Potiphar's wife got tired of being rejected, she accused Joseph of seducing her, and Potiphar had Joseph thrown into jail. Joseph needed hope. But God is faithful. He kept His promises to Joseph, and in due time, Joseph became the second most important man, not in Potiphar's house again, but in all the land of Egypt. Joseph was faithful to God, and God was faithful to Joseph. This same God, who has given you promises of love, life, and hope in Jesus Christ, wants you to be faithful to Him. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." Fidelity to God means that you be faithful in all areas of your life. God does not want you to be faithful in some things and not in others. He doesn't want you to be faithful in religious matters, but undependable in non-religious matters. Luke 16:10 says, "The person who can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much, and the person who is dishonest with very little is dishonest with much." So you, like Joseph, should be faithful in marriage. What this world considers a little flirtation, what TV suggests is a little affair, is not a little thing with God. Exodus 20:14 says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Hebrews 13:4 says, "Let everyone think highly of marriage and be sexually faithful to one's own marriage partner, because God will judge those who sin sexually, whether single or married." If the love, life, and hope that God freely gives in Jesus Christ are important to you, then God asks you to be faithful to Him and to His Word. "How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" If you're in a situation like Joseph was in, the correct word of love is no. Make sure you say no when you're tempted. The phrase "fifth column" was coined by Francisco Franco. He was leading a revolution in Spain and trying to capture Madrid. Franco said that he had four columns marching on the city, one from the north, one from the south, one from the east, and one from the west. But most important of all, he had a fifth column within the city itself. James 1:14 and 15 says, "Each person is tempted by his own desire when it draws him away and tries to trap him. When desire conceives, it gives birth to sin, and when sin becomes full grown, it gives birth to death." I don't care how handsome this guy is who is coming on to you. I don't care how beautiful this seductive woman is. You remember the love and life and hope that God has so graciously given to you, a sinner. You remember all that your Savior Jesus endured for you. You can say no. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has taken hold of you other than that which any human being can expect. But God is faithful. He will not let you be tested more than you can stand. But when you are tested, He will also give you a way out." TV had a field day with the Magic Johnson story. TV, this love guru, has promoted liberal attitudes for so long that it seems so old fogeyish that anyone should still believe in abstinence. Last month, The Chicago Tribune told about a Baltimore agency that is doing an ad campaign intended to teach teens to abstain from sex. One of their early ads was scrapped because they found out that people didn't know what the word abstinence meant. A spokesman for the agency said the Magic Johnson story had taught people what the word means. He said, "We're putting that poster back in the campaign. We've heard, yes, just be careful, long enough. The Word of God says no. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Amen."
We hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.